When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com. When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
The Burt Show.
All right, Kristen's trying to get us all motivated, or does misery love company?
No, misery doesn't love company. I just feel like when you have a group of similar-minded people, you can accomplish your goal easier. So who's in for dry January?
Oh.
Me!
I'll tell you, my January gonna be wet.
So wet.
How wet?
The wettest of wet.
Whoa! It's not even gonna be moist. It's gonna be wet.
So dripping,
flooding. Just a flood. It's the 30-day flood. I'll tell you why I'm not joining you this year, because I don't need it. In past years, I have needed it. Usually in November and December, I'm going to holiday parties. And I told you guys, I cut back on my drinking so much this year. I'm very proud of myself, because I've always had this difficult relationship with alcohol that I've just lost the taste for it. And it could be because I'm just eating more Delta 8. But either way, I just don't like drinking as much anymore, so I don't need it.
Well, that's awesome to hear. But your friend over here does need it. So would you like to support your friend and help her?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, I can do it, but it's like there's no... Sure, I will do it because there's no challenge in it for me.
That's fine.
It sounds great. I don't even like alcohol as much anymore. So sure, I'll join you.
Well, so here's my idea. And it was the same as... Well, it's similar but different. So you remember when we were seeing... Like, who got laid the quickest in 2020, whatever it was.
Yes.
So, and we had to ring the bell when we came in and we finally, you know, got a little something for the new year.
Yeah, I think it's been 3 years since Katie rang that bell. We're still waiting. She thinks the bit's still going on. It's not. You won, all right?
So, I thought for dry January, that's the similar thing. So, if you end up having a drink, and it's not to come down on anybody, it's not to be like, you suck, but you just come in and you tap yourself out with the bell, because I am recognizing that I am imbibing a little too much to get through the holidays this year. I fully recognize it. My 12 days of Christmas is the 12 drinks leading up to Christmas. I have been joking with my neighbor. We are drinking every day until Christmas.
Is there something more stressful this year that's happening for you than it has been in the past? I know for sure Mo, as he's been pretty honest about that.
Yeah, I don't. The holidays have hit different this year. They've hit harder. The grief is more tangible this year for some reason, and I can't put my finger on it. And it's been, I think, a stressful year for many reasons. And I've had some people hit me up in my DMs explaining a couple of things, whether it's seasonal affective disorder, politics this year, the election took a toll on a lot of people. So you add that in, and then, you know, you just compound with, you know, maybe my hormones because I'm a woman of a certain age. So that's affecting it. Like, there could be all kinds of reasons as to why I am pinging this holiday season.
Are the rest of you guys feeling the same way, Mo? Obviously. The rest of you guys also? Is it different this year?
This is the first time in a long time I haven't been depressed, so let me drink.
Yes. Yeah. No, for sure. And so I've just been kind of like self-medicating.
Yeah.
And just to, like, you know, I was like, we got those Christmas cookies pushed out. I mean, yesterday I happened to see a message from the school, and I hit Bart up and I was like, did you send Jimmy to school in his pajamas because today's pajama day? And we did not.
Okay. No. He'll be ostracized from the community.
He didn't say a word. He got in the car when I picked him up, and he had no clue and didn't think twice about it.
I mean, I think that's a good, that's a symbol right there. Like, we're stressing and stressing and stressing. He shows up without PJ. He don't care. Yes, you know what? In the overall scheme of things, you know, like in January or February, you're going to look back at this and probably go, it just wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, so I can recognize my blood type right now is Pinot Noir. So I need to do a reset. So I am full on board for dry January.
And I will be joining you. But here's the thing.
We did try this before, and half the cast tapped out by January 5th.
Did we really?
That sounds about
it was
right.
It was this past January. So, girl, you've had a lot of wine.
Are you serious?
Yes.
We actually did it this past January.
I don't recall.
Isn't
either,
that neat?
And that's exactly why we all need to do it again.
Because I remember last time I did dry-ish January, so I wasn't like full on for a dry January because I knew there was like two different things that I was going to have cocktails at. So I made it a point I wasn't going to drink during the week, but I would allow myself to have those celebratory days.
And that's the problem because I'm thinking of one of those things right now and I'm like, but I really want to drink at that.
Yeah.
So can I do dry January except in advance be like that day I am taking off?
Is exempt?
Yes.
From the dryness?
Those 2 days
are
a weekend.
I'm fully on committing this year.
Can we do that? Because I got a show in January, and that's what was keeping me from doing it, too, because I know I'm a drink during my show.
And we all have a show in January. We're doing that Dad's Garage thing on January 23rd, right? We're all going to want to nip a little bit on our way through that.
I plan on taking something else besides alcohol to get through that.
Turn it up, dude.
January's not looking too good. Can we reschedule for March?
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So Kristen Chenoweth is calling out a mom's group that is boycotting the Wicked film. But before we get into all that seriousness, I got to tell you about the lore that's happening on the internet right now. And of course, I had to bring in social media producer Rebecca for this because nobody is more chronically online than me than Rebecca. So ever since the Wicked film came out, it's so funny like what people will latch onto and like what will become viral for no reason. And it all started when this one piece of audio started going viral from this one chick who actually recently did a Bach lookalike contest at the Washington Square Park in New York because she hates Bach with such a passion. Bach is one of the characters from the film. He's a munchkin who plays a love interest for the Wicked Witch of the West's sister. So he's this like orange-haired guy, and for some reason she just hates this guy with a passion. And there's this one line in this one song called "We Deserve Each Other," where she says, "We in fact deserve each other."
We deserve each other, and Glinda, how did it come true? We deserve each other, me and Bach.
So the girl that hates Bach with a passion on the internet, for some reason, took such offense with that one line that she decided to just repeat it over and over and over again until she ended up on everybody's For You page making fun of that one line. And now people are having what they're calling Bach-offs, where they will look at each other and say that line, but in the most like obscene way possible. Rebecca, would you like to demonstrate?
So it would go something like, me and Bach.
Me and Bach.
Neat.
We're gonna let you guys have this one.
Listen, I'm informing you on what the Gen Zers are talking about.
Listen, you can have it, and I'm happy for you. And then there's other of us that are just gonna sit back and let you have it.
Yeah. This is our what is it called? A vocal stem. So yes. People have been repeating it over and over and over again, and now people are making remixes, replacing Ariana Grande songs with the word Bach. So this is her hit Christmas single, Santa Bach Me.
Santa fuck me, it's fuck me with love. Don't make me fuck with love again if I won't be here next year.
And it's lovely because the two of them are actually dating in real life.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Did you raise your hand? I was just going to say that first Bach, that B wasn't strong enough. It sounded like an F.
Of course, there's another song called Bach to Her. And who could forget the smash single Bach to Bach?
Bach all night, Bach all day,
Bach in the night.
And my heart got me fucking side to side.
My journalism degree is shriveling up somewhere in my closet.
Your internet is so much more fun than mine.
Yeah.
I really want to get in your algorithm, man.
Well, you just got to like a couple of random posts of people talking about Wicked.
All I'm doing is I'm buying supplements for my body. That's all I get. It's pitched like on supplements.
You're not a 27-year-old woman.
I want to be! I need to get into that algorithm.
Social media reporter Rebecca, why do you think the Bach phenomenon has resonated with people so fiercely?
First of all, I think Ethan Slater himself
is just so polarizing with what happened with him and Ariana Grande.
You mean leaving his wife after she just had a baby to be with her?
That part?
Yep.
That's going to already like cause some commotion. And when you see Wicked, it's like Bach is such a big part of the movie, but he's also not. Like, it looks like he's kind of shoehorned in. Like, there's a Bach jump scare in the first like 15 minutes. And just the word Bach, it's fun to say.
You and I talked about this, Rebecca, yesterday, because there's a theory going around that he had a much more prominent role. Because if you look at photos with the cast, Bach's right there. Mm-hmm. But you don't see him anywhere near much as you do like Ariana, Jonathan Bailey, Cynthia Erivo. And so the theory is that he did have a prominent role. But then after the scandal happened where he left his wife and baby for Ariana Grande, essentially, a lot of clips of him hit the cutting room floor.
Really?
Because of that scandal.
That's crazy. And it makes a lot of sense from a PR standpoint, because in watching the entire press junket, like obviously we knew we were going to see Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande because they're literally the main people in the film. Like we literally cannot avoid them. But Bach is a prominent character enough to where it's like you think you would see more press things from him. But I think they kind of just wanted to make sure that like people were willing to forgive Ariana because she's a pop star, but like we didn't know who this guy was. All we know is his Wikipedia page where we found out that he starred in SpongeBob the Musical for a couple of years.
Good for him though, man. Mm-hmm.
He's really turned his star power around. So good for him getting with Ariana because now he's kind of a household name for some wild reason. All right, these women, Kristen Chenoweth from the Wicked movie is speaking out against a mom's group that is boycotting the film. I'm going to tell you why. They do not want you to see it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I think you have to be a certain age to have sort of the epiphany I had again last night. And to some of you guys, this is going to sound ridiculous, like to Abby, who's so young. But when you're my age and this technology wasn't around when we were kids, I just had this epiphany last night that we take so much technology for granted now that we just didn't have even just a couple of years ago. And last night it hit me because I bought those Meta sunglasses. You put them on, right? These AI sunglasses. I can look at my dog and go, hey, Meta, what kind of dog is that? And it says, it's an English bulldog.
That's so crazy.
I can look at a plant and point at it and go, hey, Meta, what kind of plant is this and how often should I water it? And then in my ears through my sunglasses, it tells me exactly the kind of plant and when I should be watering it. That's fascinating to me.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
I didn't realize they were so robust.
Yes, right? So then I started going, I'm getting ready to go on vacation and I'm starting to notice, again, this sounds stupid because we use this stuff every single day, but like, I downloaded 2 books on a Kindle last night in 10 seconds. And it's in that little itty bitty thing. All those pages in that little itty bitty thing. I mean, we take those things for granted now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because
we used to have to go to a bookstore and pick up the book and hold it in our hands and read it on the beach. It's in a little book.
Well, I still do that because I need to have the actual book in my hand.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah, there's something about having the actual book and feeling the pages like... I'm still like a real book person.
Little things like that mess me up too, because I was mounting a TV the other day and I had to sharpen a pencil in order to make a little thing on a wall. And I just sharpening a pencil was like, wow, this really took me back to when you had to use a pencil.
Here's another thing about technology, okay, that you just put into my head is that when I'm trying to order frames online and prints online, you used to have to use a big old measuring tape, right? I can measure right on my phone. I got a measuring tape on my phone. I just swipe it against the wall and it tells me how long it is.
I just found out some Android phones have infrared built into the camera, into their phone. So you can see through your walls, like if you're looking for studs to hang stuff.
No way.
Yes. And it's like the phone is cheaper than buying a separate infrared device.
Oh, it's like those X-ray glasses that you used to get in those kits back in the day. Oh. Do you remember those? They were so
what?
I always thought I was so geeked to get X-ray glasses and thinking that you would be able to see through stuff. And, you know, that I don't know what they did. Obviously, you couldn't. It was a total ruse. But as a kid, you just thought, I have X-ray vision. Now I can see.
And again, Abby, you were born into all this, but some of us, man, like I'm laying on the couch the other night and I've got all these to-do things on my to-do list. I'm getting ready to go away and I realize that Franny has no food and I'm like, oh, now I got to go all the way to Target, which is like a quarter of a mile away. So wait, Instacart. Mm. And it was there at my doorstep in 1 hour. That's every day we take that for granted, but That's amazing.
I tell you what also is a game changer for moms who have kids in car seats. The fact that I can pull up the Target app, I can order something, and I can do curbside and literally just pull up and they bring it to your car, to your passenger window, and I don't have to park. I don't have to get my kid out of the car seat. I don't have to drag them in. Like, that is a game changer.
Right.
How about Wi-Fi? Abby, did you ever have to sit through the dial-up tone?
Yeah, so I'm in the last generation of where I can remember plugging in the phone line and hearing... I just so play Neopets for an hour. So I'm
on the cusp.
I'm on the cusp to where I do remember what it was like to have a flip phone. I didn't have a smartphone until I was like an adult, essentially. And yeah, I mean, it sucked. I'm glad I didn't have to be an adult through that. But I do remember the good old days.
Oh my God. I remember when Frosted Flakes had an internet, like had a internet address, and I'm like, a cereal box doesn't need what this internet thing is ridiculous. Why does a cereal box need a website?
It's never gonna take off.
Yeah,
never.
Kind of glad it did, so I have a job.
I was hanging out with my 17-year-old a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, what did you guys do before ATM machines? And I had to explain to him, like, we used to have to go to the bank on Friday, get out what we needed for the weekend, and if we ran out of money, you ran out of money. And he was like, no.
It still blows my mind that you can deposit a check through your phone.
Like, yes.
I still can't believe it.
But that you can pay with your phone.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And once again, these are all things that we can do online now. Just the fact, I bought a sunroom for my deck on Amazon the other day. Okay, it came in. I had contractors coming in. They were quoting me like $20,000. And I'm like, $20,000? For a sunroom. So I went on Amazon, two clicks, and I had a sunroom for a quarter of the price, and then they were there magically 6 hours later putting up my sunroom. This is a magical time to be alive. Let's not take it for granted.
The Burt Show.
Bare minimum, if you don't get a call from your family on your birthday, that is crushing. I mean, forget it. Texting, that's for friends, okay? Calls, that's for family.
That's what I'm trying to figure out is, do we need to set some guidelines for people when it comes to birthdays? And I'm not talking about how much you need to spend or anything like that, but what are the expectations? So I know when you wake up and it's a family member's birthday, it can, you know, you've got your day going on and then you're like, oh, I got to call so-and-so, and it can get bumped and bumped and bumped. So for me, I try and make it a priority for my family if they have a birthday that I call them before noon with a phone call, because otherwise you feel like an afterthought. Like, I didn't wake up and be like, it's my dad's birthday today. It was, oh crap, it's my dad's birthday today. And that's not the same for everybody, for sure. And people, I mean, everyone's different. Some people don't care. Some people don't want a phone call. Some people think a phone call is rude and they want a FaceTime. So I had a friend who just turned 30, and on her 30th birthday...
Oh, that's a milestone one, too.
Uh-huh. Her parents and her brother did not call her.
No. Man,
no text?
They did text.
Okay.
They text, and they had sent presents. And so, like, they were talking, like, happy birthday in the group chat, and they sent individual texts. But she's like, it's not about the presents. It's my parents and my brother did not call me on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
They're a calling family. Like, she calls them and they make sure to call their parents, and usually they get phone calls, and it might be like mom calling and then dad jumps on and dad sends a text mm-hmm. later, whatever. But there's always a phone call. And she's like, I don't know if I should say something because they sent me lovely gifts. They said happy birthday in the text messages, but I'm really hurt that nobody called me on my birthday. Am I overreacting about this?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's foul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about, well, I mean, you got the biggest family in here, so how many calls do you want to take on that date?
Well, honestly, I don't think it would bother me as much as it would bother most people, but that's probably because I'm not a big birthday person. I was thinking in my head, does my family call me? My mom calls me, my dad calls me. I don't think my sisters always call me. It's usually a text, and I honestly never thought anything of it.
Really?
And I think it also obviously very much depends on how close you are with your family. So Bart gets, they do, all his brothers, they do text. Like, nobody calls, they do text.
Well, there are like 17 of them too. Nobody wants that many phone calls.
There's five boys. Mm-hmm. So they will text each other. And then, God bless her, his mom's got dementia, so she's not going to remember his birthday. So you let that one pass. So I feel like it depends on how close you are with your family. But if they called last year, then they should have called this year. And especially, I mean, and maybe this is like a woman thing. your 30 is a big deal. That's a milestone.
That is a big one.
Right? That's a milestone birthday. So if it was 29 or even if it was 31, I might give it a pass. But for your parents not to call you on your 30th birthday, that seems really odd.
That's messed up. Abby, where are you after?
I would feel very discarded. I'm like, oh, yeah, society is ready to put me on a shelf, and so are my parents. Welcome to your 30s. No, for me, like, if my mom didn't call me on my birthday, I would find that very odd. But that's just because that's what I know about her. Like, I know that every year, if I haven't spent my birthday with her, she's going to call me. So if for some reason, out of the ordinary, she changes that pattern, I'm going to ping that as that's odd. That's like not normal for her.
So then do you, because this is the norm for them to call. And so I asked my friend, I'm like, is something going on with your fam or are you guys fighting? No, everything is peachy keen, like genuinely great. So now she's like, do I call them out nicely? But do I say something like, hey, I was really hurt knowing her fam is probably going to be like, we sent you these amazing gifts. We texted you. What are you talking about? We sent you. They even had her a cake delivered. Mm-hmm. So they did sweet things. But she's like, I don't care about that stuff. I care about the people I love calling me so I can talk to them. It's not about the gifts. So she's in between. She's like, do I say something and say I was hurt and I would like phone calls? Or do I just let it go because they did all this other stuff?
Yeah, I had this with my kids a couple of years ago. Those are really the only two that I expect. Everybody else can pretty much text me. But those are the two. And they didn't. I think they texted or whatever. And a couple of days later, I think I wasn't so nice about it, though. I wasn't like, oh, this really hurt my feelings. I think I'm like, bro, come on now, man. I mean, it's going to take 30 seconds out of your day to give me a call. I think I did express that I was hurt, but for sure I addressed it.
I feel like it's all about delivery and tone, so I wouldn't send it via text. Like, if you're going to ask for a phone call, I think you should call and ask for the phone call. So I think it's something you either call or FaceTime and be like, I love the cake. The gifts were beautiful. God, I'm trying to think of like how you word this because I don't want to come in hot.
Like, did you guys know you suck as parents?
No, yeah. But be like, what means the world to me is just my love language is communication, or my love language is words about whatever that is. And be like, next year, if I like a phone call, that's what's gonna make my birthday.
Knowing my parents, they'd be like, all right, then return the gifts, B.
Whether I say something or not depends on how good those gifts are. Some gifts are good enough. I'd rather the gift than the phone call.
Right. Agreed.
Also, you have to know the parents, because some parents don't take constructive criticism well when you call them out on something. And they're going to be like, I brought you into this world. You really think you're going to critique me on how I'm parenting you? And then I didn't call you on your birthday when I sent you a gift and a cake and a text.
You all run into that hornet's nest. Yep.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
All right, today is Thursday, and we call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. You guys want to know, because he caught his wife hiding hundreds of packages at her sister's house. What were the packages for? Today, we have an update. Kristen.
All right, so the recap, if you missed it. Lenny's wife was an excessive shopper. She would spend a ton of money on what he considered unnecessary items. After he confronted her, she agreed to cut back on her spending so they could save money for a vacay. Months went by without a delivery, and Lenny was starting to believe his wife had changed. He was so proud. That was until he hacked into her email and discovered a folder labeled crap, because he was referring to all the stuff she bought as crap. Inside the folder, emails of Amazon purchases being sent to her sister's address. Lenny was pissed, decided to step into psycho by sneaking into his sister-in-law's garage. Once there, he discovered close to 100 random packages. And he was furious. He hung up on us, and we never heard back from him, but we need answers. Were the packages for a side hustle? Were they all for her? Why did she hide those packages?
Here's the update. Hey, well, things got complicated after I spoke to you all. I was furious, like seen red furious, but I didn't do anything drastic. Instead, I called my wife and asked her to meet me at my sister's place. I could sense in her voice that the moment I said where I was, she knew exactly what I'd found. Her first words weren't an apology. They were, I can explain. Turns out, this wasn't just about random shopping. Some of these packages were gifts she'd been collecting for our kids' upcoming birthdays. Others were things she'd bought for her mom, who's going through a tough time. And yes, some were still just stuff she wanted. But here's the wild part. She'd created an entire elaborate system with her sister. Her sister was storing the packages, then planning to slowly bring them over so it wouldn't look like a massive delivery at our house. They had spreadsheets, actual spreadsheets, tracking the whole operation. When I asked why she didn't just talk to me, she said she felt ashamed every time I brought up our savings, but couldn't stop the impulse buying. I'm still mad, but I love her, and we're going to work on this. Thanks for your help.
Yeah. Well, at least she's not buying crap. It feels like she does have like a shopping addiction, and so she was being a little smarter about her purchases and like buying stuff, but she needed to still buy in bulk, I think, to get that shopping high.
The dopamine hit, yep. Right. Mm-hmm. All right, so maybe there's a couple of people on your shopping list right now that you just do not know what to get them, right? Well, according to the New York Post, if you know their birth date, then you should be able to pick out their present. Mo.
All right, so yeah, there's a list of Christmas movies with each zodiac sign in mind, and they base what movies they feel like you should watch based off of your zodiac sign.
This is my bad. I thought it was presents. It's movies. Yes. Okay.
So Aries, apparently, if you're an Aries, you should watch A Christmas Story. Mm. It says it checks all of the boxes for Aries with a storyline that leverages triple dog dares, obsession, poor impulse control, and tacky lamps.
It does. I am an Aries, and while those are all true, I don't want it in front of my face. and I also think that's the most overrated Christmas movie of all time.
It's so overrated. It's one of those films I don't think I've ever sat down and watched it from start to finish. I've just seen like random scenes sprinkled out, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen the movie, kind of.
So I love it. It's near and dear to my heart, but it's for nostalgia reasons. Yeah. So like, because that's what was always playing in the background of our house as we were growing up. And so it just immediately takes me to Christmas as a kid.
If you're a Taurus, they say the classic 1947 version of Miracle on 34th Street is your movie, because Taurus folks make for natural skeptics, and bulls will approve of this movie, a meditation on capitalism, the burden of proof, and the beauty of believing.
Yeah, that was pretty spot on.
That's for you, Ab. That's good.
Uh-huh, but I've never seen Miracle on 34th Street, so maybe I'll do it this Christmas.
They are nailing the characteristics of the astrological signs, though, at least in these first two.
They are, for sure. So for Kristen, if you are a Cancer, the Lindsay Lohan Netflix movie, Falling for Christmas.
What?
It says the trailer reminds us, sometimes forgetting who you are means discovering who you are, which sounds like a water sign justifying their alcohol blackout or poor choice in romantic partners.
All right. I feel personally attacked.
But seen?
Very. Considering I opened the show with that I needed to do Dry January because my current blood type is Pinot Noir. But whatevs.
Yep, it was kind of on time with that one. Mm-hmm. And if you are Virgo, like myself, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Virgos thrive on being underestimated, and no story encapsulates the spirits of the underdog or underdeer like Rudolph. I wanted to be mad. But I can't be. That's fair.
They're kind of nailing them.
Yeah, they are.
All right, let's go to Libra.
Okay, this is for you, Cassie. If you are a Libra, Elf is your movie, because they are inclined to have difficult relationships with their fathers, and never has the dynamic been more delightfully dramatized than in the Ballad of Buddy the Elf and his dad.
I am probably the only person on this planet who hates the movie Elf.
Like not just not your favorite, but hate it.
Okay, maybe I'm sensing a theme with myself. A Wonderful Life, the Christmas Story movie we just talked about, and Elf. Ugh, I can't stomach them. Irritates the hell out of me. Now, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Ooh,
that's a solid holiday movie.
Oh, who got that one?
Capricorn got National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And speaking of It's a Wonderful Life, I know we got a couple Pisces on staff. That's what the Pisces movie was recommendation was.
For what reason?
It says, ruled by dream planet Neptune, Pisces is associated with film, fantasy, and far-flung romance.
All right, we'll put this whole list online if we didn't catch your astrological sign at theburtshow.com.
The Burt Show.
We're calling BBA families, Burt's Big Adventure families, right? And we're surprising them and telling them that, hey, you have been selected to be in our family. From this point forward, not only the trip down to Disney World for kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses, but now you are part of our family. That means the reunions and everything else we do, we are all doing it together. So when we call them and surprise them this time of year to tell them they've been selected, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal, and you don't want to mess this up. Kristen did.
All right. So, Bart and I were doing a little double duty. There were four families left to surprise that they were going on Bart's Big Adventure.
I told you guys yesterday, these are amazing calls to make. I mean, you talk about warming the heart. Like, it puts everything in perspective. I think I told you guys yesterday, I called one family whose kid rang the bell in the morning, which means no more cancer treatments in the morning. Then he gets a call from me at the night saying, hey, we're all going to be hanging out together. That's a pretty good day.
Oh, yeah. After the fourth call, I definitely had a moment and I cried,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, man.
There was four families, the last four families to be called to let them know, congratulations, you're going to Disney, VIP, all the way. And then after that, you can't get rid of us because you're part of our community. We're going to have reunions. We're going to have so much fun. This is amazing. We're going to be there for you. We're going to be your support. Welcome to the Bert's Big Adventure family. Very Oprah-esque. And so Bert tapped me and asked if I could do a couple yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'm working in tandem with Sheridan over at Bert's Big Adventure, and we're lining up these Zoom calls, right? So we can surprise the families. And it was the very first one. So I'm still here at the station. We're going to talk to this mom who has not one, not two, but three children with special needs.
Right.
Okay.
So you might hear this year that we have less families, but we have more kids because we have one family that has three Bert's Big Adventure kids in it. We've got another family that has two Bert's Big Adventure kids in it. So it's been this is going to be a very different year.
And we record these phone calls so you guys can meet the families and see the families because the only reason why we get to do this is because of your donations. So we want you to be a part of the surprises. So we hit up this family and God bless them. All four of them have the flu.
Oh no. Now, keep in mind, these aren't like appointments or anything. So when Kristen and I are calling, it's a surprise,
yeah,
right? And it's video also. So they're like starting to clean the house right before we call.
Well, and it's one of those things, too. It's like they think we're calling to ask a couple more questions to finalize their paperwork or stuff like that. Like we're not telling them, hey, we're calling you to tell you you're going on Bert's Big Adventure. They just think the chairwoman of the board needs to talk to them and meet them so we can, you know, continue with the selection process. They have no idea.
Now, I didn't have that experience. A couple of the families that I called knew what was up.
Oh, they did?
Oh, they picked up and they were smiling ear to ear. And I'm like, you already know what I'm about to tell you, huh?
Just tell me.
Yeah, we know.
I didn't get that.
Okay.
So God bless her. She's got all the three kids have the flu. She has the flu. And she had one of those where the filter on her Zoom where it blurs out the back, uh-huh, right? But she's holding her son. So only her son's face is in focus. And her face is blurred and everybody else's is blurred. So I tell them they're going on Bert's Big Adventure. And of course, everybody is sick. Nobody has any energy. And everybody's like, yay. And I'm like, and she, God love her, she was so sweet. She's like, I'm like, do not apologize. You have, and I'm sure the flu looks very different in your house because, you know, it's not just a flu for a typically healthy child. You're dealing with flu with three special needs kids, so it's going to be amplified. I'm like, girl, you are good. Let it sink in. You guys get off, eat some soup, get some rest, and we'll hit you up and give you all the details. So that was the first one.
Okay.
Then we go to the second one, and it's mom and dad. Mom's in the passenger seat, dad's driving, and then the Bert's Big Adventure kids in the back seat with the two siblings, right? And so so she's on the phone, and it's me, and it's Cher Bear, and I go into my big, and I'm like, so, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and cut right to the chase. The reason why I'm calling you today is to let you know you've been selected. You're going on Bert's Big Adventure! Nothing.
No
silence?
Way. It was like that?
Nothing.
No.
She lost connection and the phone froze. Oh, no. And she didn't hear any of it.
That's hilarious.
So you're talking to a frozen face.
And she's just like this. And I look at Sheridan and Sheridan looks at me and she's like, and then all of a sudden she regains connection. She's like, oh, sorry, I missed that. What did you say? Dude, not even an exaggeration. I text Sheridan afterwards and I'm like, that was amazing. I'm like, when you scream, you're going on Bert's Big Adventure. And it's just crickets. And so then I tried to live the hype again. And I was like, you're going on Bert's Big Adventure. And then the kids in the backseat of the car are all like, yeah. And dad's trying not to drive off the side of the road. So that was a good call. And then the last one I was able to do, I'm talking to a mom. And then come to find out her daughter was actually like behind the camera or whatever. And
That was being called to be the Burstwick Adventure
yeah,
Kid?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. She was like off camera. And then I kind of could tell mom was, and she was like, because she was funny. Her, mom was telling her story with Ewing sarcoma, which is a bone cancer. And she was saying how, like, you know, they got diagnosed in February and she did chemo from February all the way to September. Like, that is just an insane amount of chemo. And then they also did radiation. And the way she was talking about her, she's like, she had a smile on her face the whole time. She exuded positivity. She just tackles everything with tenacity. And then she did make a comment about something and her daughter corrected her. She's like, no. So I'm like, oh, is she there? So she came over and that's when I got to surprise both of them that they've been selected and they're going on Bert's Big Adventure. And that... It was like after all of them, that was the last call I made. And just hearing that story of what that sweet child had to go through, we hung up that phone call and I was just like,
there it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But everybody has been notified.
Okay, great. And we have recorded these. We always look like you guys that donate are the shareholders in Bert's Big Adventure. Yeah. So we record them. And once we get their approval, we'll share them with you. And you'll be doing the same boo-hooing that we're doing.
You're going on Bert's Big Adventure. Cricket.
Silence.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
There's a pretty large group of moms that are boycotting the new Wicked movie because it's too gay.
Wait a second. Nobody boycotted Top Gun? I mean, come on, guys on the beach, shirtless, playing volleyball.
Never looked at it that way.
Well, Kristen Chenoweth has had to respond to this because there's a pretty vocal group of moms called 1 Million Moms that are boycotting and protesting the Wicked movie because they are claiming that it promotes witchcraft and an LGBTQ agenda and quote-unquote wokeness. This is pretty wild. So the group is saying that Universal Pictures is using Wicked to influence children's perceptions of sexuality and morality.
I haven't seen the movie. Is there any themes in... None.
When I say, watch that movie, hearing that, I'm like... Are you sure you saw Wicked?
It's like they saw a headline and were like, this is the gayest movie ever. Not that they should be saying any of this anyway.
No.
But it's objectively a pretty, I mean, other than like the musical aspect, it's a pretty like hetero movie.
This commentary is so bizarre and so out of left field. And it's like creating drama. It's creating nonsense for the sake of creating nonsense because you're trying to attach yourself to something that's super popular so you can push your agenda to get people to talk about you. And I feel like they're just attaching themselves to Wicked because they have an agenda they want to push. That could not be any further from the truth.
I think if you have sort of this conservative agenda, that when something like this comes out, even if you're part of that agenda, you're like, oh my God, now they're not going to take us seriously when we do have a serious concern on our agenda. No one's going to take us seriously because you guys are making something out of nothing.
Yeah, it's like people on the extreme, extreme, extreme right. So now Kristen Chenoweth is speaking out. She says, everyone knows the 1 million moms are a mere few hundred, maybe. It's called entertainment, obviously talking about the movie. Artistry. I am a Christian woman who originated the role of Glinda and all the silliness that these women spew out of hate. No, I can't help it. I try to love them anyways because they don't get it. For anyone who wants to see girl power, then go see Wicked on stage or in a movie theater.
Is this similar to that ridiculous group some years ago that was like protesting military funerals and stuff like that?
Westboro Baptist Church?
Yeah, is this similar to that?
I wouldn't say it's similar to that. No, I mean, it's... I wouldn't call them similar, but they both have their stances.
Like so far to the right that even the right is like, you way too far out there.
Yeah, it's extremism.
Okay.
That's the similarity there is extremism. And like when I left the theater after watching Wicked, what I saw, and I teared up multiple times, I saw somebody getting bullied and then somebody stand up for that person that was getting bullied, which was a beautiful message.
For what? Just going to the movie?
No. I'm talking about the movie, the messages I got from the movie.
Oh,
like plot.
Okay.
Yeah. When you walk away, the messages you walk is like you see somebody, you know,
getting bullied and somebody standing up for that person getting bullied, which is a beautiful message. And then you also see female friendship and female empowerment, which is a beautiful message. And then you also see someone standing in their power and accepting themselves for who they are and not bending to be like everybody else. And I see also standing up to the powers that be and standing up for what's right and mm-hmm. not caving just so you can make some money and live lavishly, but standing by your morals. Like, those were the lessons I walked away with after watching the movie.
Everybody I know has left sobbing out of the theater because it's such a powerful movie. So it's so sad that these people who have probably never even seen Wicked have just decided to be like, yay, and then tell everyone not to go see it. But you know who is okay with the gay? And I'm glad you brought up Top Gun, because this was actually my next story, because the U.S. Navy says that Top Gun can be as gay as it wants to be as long as it does good things for the military. So Tom Cruise
just... Is that really your next story?
No, dead ass.
Wow. But there was not the gay tie in there.
Well, I'm making it gay.
Okay.
I'm making it gay. The U.S. Navy has just honored Tom Cruise with its highest honor yesterday for all the work that he's done in media with tying, you know, big movies like Top Gun and A Few Good Men into the military, obviously bringing a lot of good PR to mm-hmm. the United States military. So the U.S. Secretary of the Navy gave him the Distinguished Public Service Award for, quote, outstanding contributions to the Navy and the Marine Corps, obviously through Top Gun and A Few Good Men. Tom said, I admire all the servicemen and women. I know in life something that is very true to me is that to lead is to serve, and I know that to my core, and I see that in the servicemen and women. Good. So shout out Tom Cruise. Being gay is okay.
Has nothing to do with it.
Literally. He said Top Gun is objectively a gay movie. Whatever.
You heard it here first on the Burt Show.
You heard it here first. All right, a new report shows that Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, and more are facing legal trouble after allegedly doing something during the pandemic that they shouldn't have. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.